Hello, I'm Rosie Goldsmith, and this is the Commonwealth Writers Podcast, celebrating 10 short story writers from 5 regions of the Commonwealth. We're calling it 10 by 10, which means I've got 10 minutes only to talk to each author. Today, I'm talking with the South African writer Marlene van Niekerk. Now, Marlene is in Stellenbosch in her little office, and I'm talking to her here from London. Marlene is Professor of Literature. She's a novelist, a short story writer, a poet. She's prize winning in each of those, and she writes in Afrikaans. First of all, for those of us who don't know your writing, don't know you, describe yourself in a few words.
I think I'm that kind of writer who's always looking for trouble. But I think a little bit intense and a little bit risky and a little bit interested in making accidents happen that I can use. Because I think it's more interesting to write things that you don't know than that you know.
That gives me a lot to go on, a lot to talk about. And we have, I mean, with South Africa and all the changes in the country, all the turning points you've had, democracy, the languages, I mean, where do we start? What should we start talking about language? I think that's probably the key.
Yeah, I write in Afrikaans because it's the only language that I feel I have enough of a command of in order to mess in it. When I write English, I can't mess in it because I'm not so comfortable in it. So I write only in Afrikaans, and then sometimes I dare to translate something, or I ask a friend or a colleague to help me with English translations in order to reach a broader audience.
If we talk about what you write about in South Africa, I mean, you're one of a quite small group of South African writers who are, you know, very public, very prominent, who chart the changes of this very changing and complicated country. Why do you choose to go public?
I don't know whether I'm a little bit maybe too brave for my own health. It's always a difficult thing for me to decide whether to take part and to what extent in public debates. I recently wrote a poem about the question of education in the Eastern Cape. I wrote a poem, Mud School, it was called, and it was written basically on the public request of Thabo Makgoba, the Archbishop of the Anglican Church. And I wrote the poem, it was quite angry, and I got a vehement reaction from government, in which I was called the worst of a certain type of patronizing colonialist writer. This after the president had given me the national order a few years ago. So what I'm saying is, if one chooses to go public with one's writing and one's opinions, one must have quite a thick skin. And even the fact of participating is contested in South African letters at the moment.
And if you'd like to read that poem, Mud School, it's on the Commonwealth Writers website. Now, Marlene, when you think of the future, is it education you care most about?
I do think I will want to focus on a world where children come to stand in the centre of the attention. And especially today, to equip the children to understand where they are and how they must live in order to lower the idea of the human being as a controller and possessor of things to being a participant and a carer of what we've been born into.
Do you feel a responsibility or an obligation to speak out? I mean, you're a writer. You're an absolutely wonderful, beautiful, lyrical, original, distinctive writer. You could say, why doesn't my writing speak for itself? But what your writing does address are some really important issues. And a lot of it jumps out as, I mean, as you yourself say, you write outside the main arena. Now, this has been quoted many times about you.
I feel responsible, yes. I feel responsible, maybe a tad too much even. Writers in South Africa could be bogged down by too much responsible feelings. They could also be bogged down by too much reality. I know Christopher Hope said you need distance to swing a cat. You need space to swing a cat. He might be right. And quite recently I had a chat to Zakes Mda, another quite prolific South African writer, And after we had spoken for about an hour about South Africa, he put his arm around me in quite an avuncular way and said, "You know what your problem is? You're far too patriotic." And I found that very, very, very interesting.
You are known, particularly in the English translations I've had, for your big fat novels, for the two, Agathe and Triomphe. And Agathe was translated as the Way of the Women, where you address all these topics we've been talking about. I mean, race and sex and class and employer-employee relations. But when you write your short stories, are you still addressing those issues? Do you still think you can pack as much into a short story as you do into your novels?
That's a very interesting question for technical reasons. I think the short story is one of the most difficult forms to handle, and I struggle quite a lot to write them. I struggle much more to write a short story than I struggle to write a poem or to write a novel. In a novel, one has a lot of space, and you can dramatize and you can extemporize. And in a short story, you really have to understand economy. And economy, as you might know from the size of the novels, is not my best quality. So the short story is, I think, like tightrope walking in prose writing. And it's a beautiful, beautiful form and genre. The last short stories that I wrote in a book called The Snow Sleeper, it hadn't been translated yet, but I've translated one of these stories for today's reading with a friend of mine. These stories are quite different from the political and satirical stories that I wrote in my first collection.
You've actually flagged up your reading beautifully. You're going to read an extract from a short story which has been translated exclusively for Commonwealth writers, so we'd be so happy to hear that.
Okay, I take the story, The Swan Whisperer. I will read a little bit of the story in Afrikaans to give you an idea of what this guttural mother tongue of mine sounds like. Geachte rector, dekaan, collega's, vrienden en familie. Wat doseer 'n mens as jy 'n docent is van skeppende skryfkunde? Gaan dit oor die ware, oor die goeie of oor die skone? Betref dit kritiek of fantasie? Of geloof. Honorable Rector, Dean, dear colleagues, friends and family, what does one teach when you are a teacher of creative writing? Should one be concerned with the true, the good, or the beautiful? Is it about criticism, or fantasy, or faith? What is the use of literature, its value on the greater canvas of human endeavors? And maybe I should ask, can a story offer one consolation? I do not wish to pretend that I have answers to these questions. What I shall share with you tonight is an experience through which this kind of question has become irrelevant to me. It concerns a written exchange I had with a student. I shall call him Kasper Olwagen, or rather, some correspondence that he had with me, since I never wrote back. Perhaps, I thought, this entire episode would somehow become clear to me if I carefully reconstructed the order of my students' unusual mailings and my reactions, even more so if I were to do this before a critical audience. The hourglass is running. Judge for yourself. I present the evidence to you. The first piece from Kasper to arrive in my mailbox was a letter, if one could call it a letter, 67 pages. Let me read you the first paragraph so that you may form an idea of what I was dealing with. Bed B, Ward 1002, Intensive Care Unit, Academisch Medisch Centrum, Amsterdam, 24 February 2002. Dear Professor Van Niekerk, as you may deduce from the above address, I'm writing to you in the midst of a situation of personal crisis. Ruled paper, leaking boil point, intravenous in the back of my hand, catheter in my answer. I know without a doubt that such a letter is the last thing you could possibly have expected of me after all those years of reading my bone-dry manuscripts. I also know that you prefer to keep your students at a distance in the light of constantly having to read their boring and barely veiled revelations. Not that you ever had reason to fear anything of such nature from me during all my years of study, but the time of reckoning hath come. I know you well enough to know that what I have to say